You are listening to the How to Talk to Girls podcast with me, Trip Kramer. Hello and welcome back to another episode of the How to Talk to Girls podcast. I'm your host, Trip Kramer from tripadvicecoaching.com. On today's episode, we got Coach Eric. He's talking about pumping yourself up for cold approach, getting in the mood to do cold approach. Because let's be honest, when we are first starting off, it's very hard to get in the mood for something that is really nerve-wracking, for something that is very scary. And he's going to go over some tips, some tricks for not just getting yourself in the mood to cold approach, but how to do it more effectively, how to help with that anxiety. And he's been doing this for several years. And I will say he's actually a monster in the field. He has no fear approaching women. He's very good at approaching women. And that's why he is on the team. He's an amazing coach, and he's able to get guys amazing results in our coaching program. You can work with Eric or one of our other coaches here at TripAdvice by going to tripadvicecoaching.com. Over there is where you can book a call with us. We can chat with you for free on your dating life. Where are the problems? Where are the issues? We ask you some deeper questions. We want to know where you're having issues with cold approach or meeting women in person. Where are you having issues with meeting women online? Why are you not getting dates past the first and second dates? Where are there leaks in the system? And you should have a system. There should be a system for dating, whether you're looking for a girlfriend or a wife, whether you're looking for something casual and fun until you even get to that point. Whatever it is, you need a system. And so we have it for you, and we can see what your system is now. And of course, if you don't have one, that's okay. That's the whole point of the call, is to go over that and see what's going on. So we can work together. We have a virtual coaching program. So anywhere all over the world, we've worked with people. I should really have a list and tally of all the countries we've worked with people in, but we've worked with people pretty much on every continent at this point. Obviously, we're not at Antarctica yet, but maybe one day we will be. I'm not sure how the Wi-Fi is down there. Anyway, we will do a call with you wherever you live, and we can help you and get you to the point where your system is intact and you're getting a calendar full of dates. That's what I want you to have at all times. How do you do that? We can help you. TripAdviceCoaching.com. Now let's go into Eric's great episode here on pumping yourself up to cold approach.
Thank you for tuning in. This is dating coach Eric Leonard. If you don't know who I am, I'm one of the coaches here working with Trip Kramer, working for tripadvice.com. And I do guest appearances on the podcast regularly, so it's going to be a little bit more frequent at this point, and you'll be hearing more of me and some of my ideas. And I'm really hoping I can contribute something new. Okay, to your repertoire of dating skills. And today I figured we would talk a little bit about everyone's favorite subject, the subject of cold approach. Okay, it's so mystified. How do we do it? How do people get good at it? Okay, it almost seems like some people are just born with that little bit of magic. The truth is that rarely is ever true. Very rare that someone's just born with it. Most people have to treat it like any other skill, and they have to train for it. Something you have to hone. It's something you have to craft. And just like any skill acquisition, it's a bit nerve-wracking, a bit challenging at first, if not very challenging. Okay, so there's no getting around those bumps in the road. The only way out is through. In fact, if you talk to anyone who's versed in treating anxieties and phobias, you're going to find out that there's no such thing as treating an anxiety or phobia or fear by trying to sidestep and go around it. The treatment is facing it head on until you adapt to it. Okay, so instead of telling you today about how to do cold approaches in the technical sense, I want to give you some ideas that I think are going to help boost your mood a little bit. Get you into the right mindset, because honestly, most of cold approach, it really is just mood and mindset. It's a lot more rudimentary than we think it is. There's not a lot of technical skill when it comes to using the exact words, those seemingly magic words that can woo any woman. No, it's more practical, and it comes down to more of the essentials. Just how are you feeling and what's the energy you convey, and can you make her feel relaxed? Okay, that's honestly 90% of it. Words will always vary. So let's talk about mindsets instead. Let's talk about mood boosters. So first of all, here's some truths about approach. This is all based on my experience having been a dating coach for 6 years now. Worked with about 600 clients over that time. Okay, about 100 clients per year. When it comes to cold approaching, I don't want anyone to think about outcomes in general, about results. You tend to do better when you're not thinking about that. Okay, so let's get rid of outcome dependency. You may have heard this before, but that's very, very important. In other words, as someone who's experienced in this, as someone who regularly engages a lot of different women and does cold approaches, I never actually tell myself, I'm going to go try to get that girl's phone number. I never have that objective in mind. I just simply say, you know, that girl's really attractive. I'm going to go talk to her and have a positive interaction. That's it. I'm going to go make a positive conversation with her. That's what I'm telling myself. I'm not thinking about what that will result in exactly. Okay, so that's very, very important. And then when it comes to actually getting a phone number, requesting the phone number, it's kind of almost like it's an unforeseen second step. I decide in the moment, all right, this girl's actually pretty cool. We've been talking for a few minutes and we seem to be connected. You know what? May as well just go ahead and ask for her phone number. And in that sense, it's more like a second step, isn't it? Something I didn't plan or think about or go in with. It really helps take a lot of the pressure off of yourself. And that self-imposed pressure, any type of expectation or agenda, whether it's from someone else or even from yourself put onto yourself, we have a funny way of resisting that. We have a funny way of not doing well with agendas or expectations. Okay, so let's get outcome independent. That's the first mindset, all right? If you're going to go in and do an approach, you're going to do it for the joy of having an approach. You're going to do it for the joy of talking to that girl that you want to talk to. Okay, be positive, be relaxed about it. Super important. With that being said, when it comes to results and consequences of an approach, here's what I've actually collected over the years. About half of the approaches are going to have a positive reaction from the girl. That means you were rewarded in some sense. Okay, I'm a very practical person and I like to speak in these practical terms. Okay, you were rewarded in some sense. It could be a phone number. Could also just be a smile or a thank you. Could it be a fun, happy conversation? Okay, so whatever form that comes in, it obviously varies a lot depending on how you did the approach, the setup, just plain luck. Honestly, was she available? Was she able to talk to you? Etc. So when we talk about positive reactions, we're going to talk about positive reaction in any sense of the word. Okay, something good happened. It's that simple. So that's about half of your approaches there. You're going to get that positive reaction. Half of your approaches, you're going to have a neutral reaction or consequence. Okay, we wouldn't call it great, but nothing bad happened to you. It was neutral. Maybe at worst, you have some feelings of rejection. But at the end of the day, feelings are not very consequential. Okay, nothing actually threatened you. Nothing bad happened to you there. Okay, so 50% of those outcomes would be neutral. And that just means the girl wasn't interested. She wasn't available, perhaps. She was running to catch her bus. The truth of the matter is we're generally not going to know why she's not interested. She won't always announce it. She won't always say, hey, look, I'm sorry. I appreciate that you approached me and I don't have a boyfriend, but I am dating someone and it's starting to get a little serious. It's kind of complicated. I'm technically open to dating other people, but no, there's this one guy I'm focusing on right now, so I don't think I should really stir the pot too much. She's not going to explain herself for the most part. You're lucky if she says something like, hey, sorry, I don't have time, or I have a boyfriend. The truth of the matter is these are just simply neutral consequences because they didn't result in anything really negative happening to you. She just wasn't available, and that's it. Okay, so half of your approaches result in something positive and half result in something neutral. That's about what you should expect. Obviously, there's variance. There's times where I get a whole bunch of rejection, and then there's times where I get some really positive reactions, perhaps several in a row, maybe even several phone numbers in a week. Okay, so it's never just something that happens in a very consistent kind of basis here. It's very inconsistent. Now, of course, if you know how to do math, basic math, and 50% are neutral and 50% are positive, that means 0% are negative. Okay, we're going to define negative as something bad that happened to you in the practical sense. You didn't get slapped. Nobody called the police on you. Nobody screamed at you. All those awful things that you think about, that you worry about when you're doing your approaches, they don't really happen. Okay, so if you're someone who's experiencing approach anxiety, and you probably are, just because most of us, if not all of us, have been there at some point before we got good, the truth of the matter is those scenarios don't really exist. It would be extremely rare. Someone would have to have been extremely drunk at the bar and irritable. Okay, but it's not like what you see in the movies. Let's think about it. Women don't particularly have an interest in slapping or screaming or threatening the police. Okay, if you talk to them, they're probably just going to say they're not interested, and that will be that. Okay, they're not going to call over their boyfriend and say, beat this guy up, he talked to me. Guess what? In the real world, you can't actually do that. The police come for the guy who tried to attack you, or the bouncer kicks them out. It doesn't really happen. That stuff would get shut down pretty quick. Okay, but more to that point, no one's particularly motivated to do that. The girls don't want to see that. The girls don't actually want to hurt anyone. They're simply just going to say they're not interested. Okay, this isn't a pep talk either. This is statistics. I've been doing this a long time, 6 years, 600 clients about in 6 years. I'm not seeing negative results like that. It's either neutral or positive. Okay, so it's always very hard to start doing approaches if you're not yet warmed up, if you're not familiar with the process yet. And that's honestly where most people get stuck. That's the hardest part, is getting started. It's like any other skill. It gets easier with practice. You just got to get over those initial hurdles. But it starts with mindsets, and it starts with having realistic expectations, which unfortunately, in my experience, most men do not. Okay, let's remind ourselves of what our goal is here, so that way we're not focusing on outcomes. The goal is to engage her in a positive interaction and establish comfort for her. Isn't that interesting? Most of us, when we're new to approach, we're visualizing something else. We're thinking, okay, the goal is to flirt with her, to build some chemistry, get a phone number, etc. Of course, I want to get you away from outcomes, any type of expected outcome, and I want to get you more focused on the process and the interaction and having fun doing it. Okay, so instead of the goal is to get a phone number, say that the goal is to establish comfort for her. Go into it. Make her feel good. Have a fun conversation. Interestingly enough, that is more likely to get you the phone number because you built rapport with her and she felt safe. And if there's a first step for anything with women, it is establishing safety and comfort for them. Okay, attraction cannot happen until you have safety and comfort established. It's actually very similar. If any of you guys know about Maslow's hierarchy of needs, It's very similar in that you kind of have to start with your basic needs of safety. It's been a while since I've studied this. I think it's physiological needs to start, like being able to eat. And after that, it's basic safety and security. And then after that, it's social comfort, being able to socialize and make friends. This hierarchy of needs, I don't like using it directly. It's just something to compare it to because some people may have that concept. They've maybe heard of it. I think if I remember correctly, the research is not very perfect. It's not very telling when it comes to that hierarchy of needs. Okay, so it is a visualization. You probably get the idea. When it comes to women here, they're not going to form a romantic connection with you if they don't have basic safety and security. So it's very similar in that regard. You got to start with the most basic things. All right, let's talk about some mood boosters here. Okay, because again, trying to always be practical with my advice, with what I teach people. How can we make ourselves feel better about doing approaches? Few things I can think of. One of them I already mentioned. It's what I call it's called the two-step method. That's just my name for it. Two-step method is something like, okay, don't visualize too far ahead of the outcome. So break approach down into two steps. The first step, and this is the only one you're focusing on at the time when you do the approach, is just saying, I'm going to go talk to her. Anything else that happens after that, that's just the result of you creating a second step because you decided it was okay in the moment, but you're not visualizing it. Another way to think about the two-step method, it's very interesting. When we start walking towards the girl we want to approach, it's actually easier to follow through with the approach because there's feedback happening. Your brain is saying, okay, well, now we're in motion. Now we're doing this. Think of it in terms of momentum. If you are having trouble saying and visualizing appropriately, I'm going to go approach that girl. Instead, start with step one and just start walking towards her. Tell yourself, I'm just going to walk in that direction. That's all you have to do. Don't think too far ahead if you have too much anxiety here. Instead, focus on breaking it down into steps. I'm just going to go ahead and walk in that direction towards her. Okay, I haven't decided if I'm going to talk to her. Maybe I won't. I'm not even thinking about that. All I have to do is walk towards her. Isn't that simpler? Yeah, you can probably do that. You can probably just start taking footsteps. And then something very interesting happens. You have this momentum now. You've already committed to it in a sense once you've done step one. The action is happening. You're moving in a direction. Okay, once the train has left the station, it can be very hard to slow it down. It takes time. It is, however, easier just to not take action to begin with, to stay in the gate. Therefore, get out of the gate. Okay, leave the gate, get the train going, get it up to speed. And if you break this down to steps, I practically guarantee you're going to find it easier. You're going to tell yourself after step one of walking towards her, you're going to say things like, okay, this is happening. I'm already doing it. I'm walking towards her. Okay, no stopping me now. You will actually have thoughts like that, and you are more likely to follow through on an approach. Okay, so to summarize that, if approach is ever too big to visualize, particularly since it comes to visualizing usually means you're thinking far ahead towards outcomes. If that's ever too big or overwhelming, then just break it down to steps. Just tell yourself, okay, yeah, I'm not talking to a girl or cold approaching her. All I'm going to do is just walk in her direction. Start with step one. And then as step one is occurring or has occurred, you kind of say, okay, you know what? Now I'm just going to say some words to her. Okay, now I'm just going to ask her if she has any great recommendations for things to do around here. That's all I have to do. Okay, so you're not thinking about the gestalt of approaching, but you're breaking it down into smaller pieces. Okay, that'll be a great mood booster, make things a little bit easier. I say it's a mood booster because there is definitely research linking us physical motion to making communication and doing nerve-wracking things easier. Okay, so even just walking, like the physical act, it's no secret. Exercise, moving around is good for us. try that out. It's really been making a difference for a lot of my clients. Get a little momentum going with your footsteps. And then simply choose to talk to her once you've already gotten that momentum going, once the train has left the station. Okay, another mood booster is simply social support. Get a friend involved. Approaches are easier and more importantly, they're more fun actually when you have friends involved. I even do approaches with female friends of mine from time to time. I go to the park with a female friend of mine. She's aware of what I do for a career. She thinks it's fun, loves the concept, and we play a little game and I say, all right, Kai, pick anyone you want to here and I will go approach them. You choose. And then after that, I'm going to pick one for you and you got to go approach him. Giggles all around. Okay, this is fun. She's maybe never done this before. We'll oftentimes approach together if it's easier for her or him, right? I'm just talking about getting friends together. I keep talking about women because my point is you can even do it with women, okay? It could just be a friendship game you guys do. Go up and engage people who are having that picnic. It generally is easier to do this with another person, male or female. I happen to think it's a little bit more fun if you get female friends involved just because it's interesting. But get your male friends involved. You know, through Trip Advice, we have a private Facebook group, Trip's Corner. And for the clients who have access to that, and I think anyone listening can get it actually. Trip knows more about that, but I think anyone can get access to that. And once you're in that private group, I see people all the time. They're reaching out to others, say, who wants to do approach with me? Who lives in this city? And it works and they link up. And they're generally a lot more successful if they were anxious to begin with just by getting people involved. Think about it. This is all around you. Let's look at something like treating addictions, Alcoholics Anonymous. What's their big secret? They do it in groups. They have social support. They get a sponsor. If you ever get tempted or if you're having trouble kicking your alcohol habit, call your sponsor. Go to the group setting. Make sure other people are out there backing you up. Okay, it is no different with any type of behavioral change. Anything you want to do, social support is incredibly powerful. The biggest reason why people don't do social support, why they don't engage their friends as much to help them with this is, well, because they're kind of bashful about what they're doing, the concept of it. But honestly, if you go up and you tell your friends, hey, I want to do this thing where I learn to engage more women. I want you to do it with me. Help hold me accountable. Help push me into it. I'll help you too. In my experience, most people are thrilled about it. They think it's cool. It doesn't have to be for dating or picking up women or anything like that. It could just simply be, you know, I would really like to relearn the lost art of conversation with strangers. We hide behind our smartphone screens all day. Okay, it's a personal development thing for me. Let's go do this. Again, we're not thinking about outcomes for approaches, so it doesn't literally have to be romance or dating based. It's just meeting people for the sake of meeting people. It's fun. Get your friends involved. Most of them are probably more into it than you could realize. Most of them would find that inspiring. They'd admire you for doing it. They'd want to join you. Okay, just like with Alcoholics Anonymous, get a support group going. Okay, this helps on many levels. For one, it's more fun, so that'll boost your mood a bit. And then two, it also helps hold you accountable because you have someone who's going to help push you into it. All right, another mood booster for getting the right mindset for approach. Choosing your environment's very important, in my opinion, with approach, and that's probably something most people don't consider a lot. The thing is, I want you to really participate in the environment that you choose as much as you're able to. Okay, so actually give yourself a personal reason to be involved with the environment. For example, I love doing cold approaches at parks. If you were to go to a park to just cold approach, which is an option, you might feel a little bit like you're prowling on its own if you had no business being at the park. But for me, I really love going to the park because I get to go to the park. I get to be outside. I generally go around the sunset hour. It's gorgeous. A lot of other people are going there to watch sunsets too. For me, I get a little exercise. I've been cooped up in my office all day doing coaching with clients, coaching calls, of course. Love the job, but now it's time to take a little break. Okay, now that it's later in the day, or even if I have that odd lunch, go to the park and genuinely enjoy myself by participating in my environment. Why does this work? It works because you can now tell yourself mentally that you are not prowling. If you've ever done cold approaches before, I think just about everyone has experienced this. You kind of feel a little uncomfortable because you have no business being there other than to randomly walk around and engage women. Almost feels kind of like the notion of being creepy or even a stalker. Okay, well, the very effective way of getting rid of that is simply to have genuine business for being in that environment. Okay, I'm going to go to the park so I can enjoy the park. I'm actually going to go walk and hike around the park a little bit. I'm going to go there to watch that sunset. I might go to the dance club to actually do a little bit of dancing. You know what's weird? When you go to a salsa dance club just to go meet women, and then you kind of feel, again, you get those kind of notion of creepiness washing over you, prowling. I also happen to think a lot of the women there can see through it too, because you don't have an actual reason. It's pretty clear you're not there to dance or you don't like dancing. What if you were to participate in your environment? What if you took the beginning salsa dance lesson that they generally have at these socials, and then you go there to genuinely enjoy dancing? And while you're doing that, guess what? You get to meet women and they detect that you're relaxed because you have other reasons for being there. Okay, you're not just there with no real business to be there. Take the grocery store, for example. Pretty strange thing, in my opinion, just to be wandering around the grocery store randomly. But if I'm going to go there, I actually want to buy some groceries. Maybe there's like a fun product there I want to try. A new type of Ben and Jerry's ice cream, perhaps. Okay, motivate myself and genuinely have fun by participating in the environment. And then do some approaches while you're there. You may as well. Much easier to do, in my opinion. Okay, again, it's a mood booster. So if you feel like a prowler, it's very easy to not become a prowler. That is just to motivate and excite yourself about participating more, having some business for the environmental situation you have put yourself in. Farmers markets are another one I really love. Okay, I'm going to go to that farmer's market. I'm going to buy some produce. I'm going to try out all the free samples. I'm going to have some fun, maybe get lunch from one of the vendors. There's music going. There's good weather going. You know, why not enjoy a Saturday morning doing that? Now I'm genuinely having fun and I'm not just, well, I'm going to go here to approach women by itself, especially if I'm particularly nervous. It's important to have fun. Okay, and do that by participating in your environment. Okay, so another one I'll say, this one's really interesting to a lot of people. I just discovered this one myself when I used to be really nervous. Another way to boost your mood is to do charitable acts. It feels good to serve other people, to do something nice for other people. I first discovered this ages ago when I went on a trip to Southeast Asia and I really wanted to engage locals. And I was nervous as heck. Okay, I wasn't an experienced traveler back then. And then I see a fair amount of people who are homeless and they're kind of sitting out there with their kids and they have signs saying they're trying to fund schooling for their kids. And I don't really know what's the truth anymore, honestly, when I see homeless people begging. But it didn't matter at the time. I figured I'm coming from a relatively wealthy country and I'm in a poorer country. And I know I did something good by helping out what appears to be a mother and her two children. They actually look fairly clean and, you know, kempt, and why not give them a little bit of money, which might make a big difference for them. And I realized I felt really good after doing that. I did something nice. Okay, there was no purpose to me being there other than just traveling. I do this one at home too. And you're going to find approaches are a lot of fun when you do something like buy a random cup of coffee for a random stranger. I mean, that in itself could be an approach. Okay, but try not to have an expectation on it. The goal is just to be like, say, go to a coffee shop. You meet someone there. Maybe they're waiting in line with you. You turn to them, you say, what are you having today? They say, oh, I'm just going to get a small drip coffee. You say, that's great. Can I buy your coffee for you? And at first they kind of want to resist, but you say, no. Look, it's this thing I'm doing, random act of kindness. In fact, I'm probably going to do this for 5 other people today at some point. And when you put it like that, they think it's pretty cool and inspirational and buy them a cup of coffee. And I guarantee you will feel great. After that, approaching is more fun. You put yourself in a good mood. You made someone smile. You made someone happy. You feel proud of that. Okay, so that one surprises a lot of my peers, actually doing charitable acts. And when I say charitable acts, I mean even just small acts, the cup of coffee. I love doing that stuff. I do that certainly when I travel. I think I do it a lot when I travel because when I travel, I tend to go to countries that are not as economically advantaged as we are here in the United States. My money goes really far, but those small little random acts of kindness mean a lot to them. So it's very easy for me to afford it, of course, and I know I really made someone's day. So like I said, back in Southeast Asia, I do things like give some money to people who are asking for it on the street. I will go to countries like Thailand and Vietnam, and I will find a local sitting by themselves. It can be male or female. And I'll just sit down right next to them at the street stall they're eating at. I'll order a little food myself. We'll talk, make a little conversation. And then to their surprise, I pay for their food, which only costs me about $1 or $1.50 most times. So pretty easy to do. Okay, but this random act of kindness for them, it was the most thrilling thing that's happened to them all week. Okay, and it was a free meal for them. Okay, just like if someone bought you a meal, I mean, what's lunch cost? $15 perhaps these days, depending on where you're at. If someone just bought you that, that actually goes a really long way to save $15. That's pretty big for you. So it's really the equivalent to them. So abroad, yeah, when you're traveling, great time to do it. If you're in one of these countries. Otherwise, just at home, that small cup of coffee, that really random thing that you could buy for someone goes really far. Okay, I tend to do that one with coffee a lot at home. Could be a slice of pizza. It could be anything. All right, try these things out. Honestly, guys, I really think they're going to give you a huge boost in mood. Okay, these are things that I myself actually do to warm up. Because I may be a coach, but when I'm cold and I need to warm up too. And a lot of the approach is putting yourself in the right mood. It sounds a little bit cheesy, but we're trying to create some positivity and some happiness for other people here. That's really what we're doing with the approaches themselves. We're just trying to show the girl a good time, a fun conversation. Okay, you're going to find yourself going in much warmer if you do things like this. If you bring in the social support, if you do the charitable acts, buy someone their coffee. Okay, if you participate genuinely in your environment and have purpose for it. Okay, try out other things like the two-step method. Those really help. Okay, and then the last one I'll talk about, this one is so simple, I saved it for last. Socialize with your friends or do some fun activities beforehand. It's easier to approach when you just went to that concert, that party, and you're in a great mood, you had a good time. Now it's easy to engage people at that party or after that concert. Much easier to do than when you just kind of come in cold. So it's about warming up. It's about having some fun and boosting your mood. That way your approaches are more effective and easier for you and you have less anxiety. This is the type of stuff most people do not think about at all when they're doing approaches because they're fixated on the visualized outcome of getting a phone number or trying to flirt or be flirty. Okay, don't skip the small stuff, albeit very important too. Get in the right mood for this. All right, that's the podcast for today. Hope you guys enjoyed that. We're going to have a lot more for you to come. You'll be hearing more from me pretty regularly here, actually. So I'll be recording a lot of these podcasts, and I hope you guys benefit from it. Okay, really, really has helped me out personally. And like I said, 6 years of taking clients, it's working for them. And that's why I've kind of included these ideas in my lists. Thank you.